got a quick question for you, alright? I wanna hear your thoughts, I wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright? The answer's not important, I'm just glad that we could talk tonight. So what's your favorite?
How did you get?
If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time, yeah. I think you'll have a great time, yeah.
So, hello again, and welcome to another episode of Queer Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I'm one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and corn snack enthusiast Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey, everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I am a big fan of corn chips as well. Does that qualify?
I don't know. What are corn chips? Is that Fritos?
Shit, man. You don't know what corn chips are?
No.
Yeah, that's like, Fritos. I think that there's like some Doritos that qualify as corn chips.
Yeah. I think I'm talking
general,
about
like dipping chips.
Like very specifically, like corn based snacks. There's something you can search for these on your computer so you know just how, how corn forward it is. But I used to be really into this stuff called Glad Corn, the amazing corn treat, I think. And they spelled amazing like maize, like corn maize.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
And I loved it. And it was like some mutant, like partially popped popcorn kernel.
Yeah.
That had a bunch of seasoning on it. And I would eat those and they were great. And now I've recently discovered this snack called Love Corn, which is another like somehow treated and flavored popcorn kernel pre-popped. And I'm just nuts about them.
So I've had this kind of thing before, like this Glad Corn type stuff. That's like a smashed kernel of popcorn, essentially, but it hasn't totally popped. And it's very airy. It's kind of like, it's got like an insulation texture to it. I don't know if my description of it has tipped you off, but I dislike these tremendously.
No, Glad Corn, a lot of people don't like them. It was something that I discovered at like a small grocery store in like a one of New Jersey's cities, you know?
Yeah.
And it felt like very cosmopolitan to me. It was like, oh, you can't get this at Pathmark. You can't get this at 7-Eleven. This is like, I'm going to bring this back to the people and tell them, you know, whenever I'm in the city, Red Bank, I'm going to get more of this Glad Corn and everyone's going to love it. And it was divisive. People did not like this stuff. And like even more than like traditional popcorn, it like gets the fuck in your teeth. It really gets in there.
Yeah. Yes, it does. And there's no anticipating which kernels are going to like have real structural integrity to them. Like some of them you bite into and you're like, yeah, piece of cake. And then other ones you're like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
That was a hard one.
Yeah. You need to be on your toes the whole time. There's no sleeping on this treat. Thanks to Everlywell for supporting Quick Question. Everlywell is digital healthcare designed for you, all at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home lab tests, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need, like the women's health test or food sensitivity test. Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/QQ. This episode is brought to you by Jiminy's, maker of sustainable dog food made with cricket protein. Cricket protein is a superfood, dude, that is delicious, nutritious, and easy to digest for dogs. Save 20% off your first purchase. Go to jiminy's.com/QQ25 and use code QQ25 at checkout.
Thanks to Backbone for supporting Quick Question. Backbone is the newest game-changing essential that transforms your iPhone into a handheld console so you can play anywhere, anytime. Go to playbackbone.com/QQ now to order your Backbone until June 30th and get free access to over 350 console games and perks. Thanks to Truebill for supporting our podcast. From forgotten free trials to automatic renewals, when big companies keep charging you, Truebill is your secret weapon to save you money on subscriptions you don't need. Go right now, truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year. So I've had something recently that I didn't know existed, and I didn't know you were allowed to do per laws, but like you can, if you go to some Korean barbecue places, you can get the option on your bowl to get cheese corn. Do you know what that is? Okay, it's corn kernels, just like you would get from a can, I assume, or like straight off of a cob. And then, I mean, I don't know how they're grown. And then there's in with it is some cheese. There's like some like very melty cheese in with it. It's like when you put it on a bowl when it's hot, you just get like this melty, creamy mess. And it's goddamn delicious. Like it looks pretty gross. It looks kind of like cream corn, but it's amazing. It's like, it's incredible. It's, I didn't know cheese and corn could go that well together.
That I'm I mean, of course I'm never eating cheese anywhere, but I'm trying to think if in my reckless youth, if there was a lot of cheese corn combinations, and I guess you're right. I guess it's not really a huge thing.
I don't think
cheesy popcorn. Yeah, I mean white cheddar popcorn. But I mean, now
barely
it
qualifies.
Yeah,
wait, that's not cheese. That's sure. Like somebody yelled cheese from another room. That popcorn was in.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, Soren, I got a question.
Oh wow, quick this question is fast. For you. Hold on, let me get my bearings. We're already in the show. Okay, let's see. I am. My body is ready. Go.
Quick question, Soren. What are some of your favorites?
All right. Great question.
Here's why I bring this up. I had a dude's day with my 10-year-old nephew the other day. Great time. Spent time on the beach, got some Italian ices, went to a nice restaurant, did some shopping. Just a total blast of a day. And I don't know if this is specific to him or I suspect 10-year-olds in general. He is very curious about my favorites in almost everything. And it had me confront a lot of things that I never think about. Because, like, we were eating Tostito chips, and this was the second time he had seen me eat them in as many weeks. And he was like, "You always have Tostitos. Are they your favorite snack?" I was like, "Oh, no, absolutely not. What is your favorite snack?" "Oh, well, I don't think I have a favorite anything anymore. I think something that happens in adulthood is everything's my favorite. Nothing's my favorite. It's just like not a thing that I dwell on." And it's very fascinating to talk to a 10-year-old because I imagine this is like the topic of the day for everyone that age, where it's like you have to have a favorite color. What's your favorite movie? What's your favorite snack? What's your favorite place that you've ever visited? And just like getting those questions nonstop all day was very philosophically fascinating to me.
I guess that's true. I get it from my son as well. And it's like, he constantly wants to rank things, including people. And I'm trying to dissuade him from doing that. But I think that maybe that's like what they get in terms of what they think a personality is. Because so early on, that's like, you're asking kids these superlatives. Like you're like, when you're getting to know a child, you're like, "What's your favorite color?" Or at dinner, we'll do best and worst at the dinner table. Did you ever do that?
Not growing up, no. But when I've had dinner with my brother and sister-in-law and their kids, they do rosebud thorn.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is
very poetic.
Which is like relative to the day. Rose, what's the best thing today? Thorn, what was the worst thing that happened today? Bud, what are you most excited about for tomorrow?
Oh, Jesus, that's very poetic. I think I'd be pissed off if I heard that happening at a table. I think I'd be like, just call them normal things. But we do. So like,
and we do it in French too, in fluent French. Whenever we do it, does that make it better?
The children wearing little sailor outfits.
Yeah, correct.
We do rosebud thorn. We do rosebud sleigh. That best and worst, like my son really sits there and like, it takes him a while. Whereas we're like, "All right, well, mom, what was your best and worst?" And she'd be like, "Well, here's my best, here's my worst." And those probably aren't true. I mean, she's not flat out lying, but they're not going to be the very best part of her day or the very worst. She's just like grabbing, there's thoughts all over her head. She's just like, "Oh, this one's pretty good, I'll use that one." I'm like, "This one's pretty bad, I'll use that one." And you just sort of like pick and choose, because the answer doesn't really matter. It's just about talking and like knowing what they like, what they dislike, what was good, what wasn't. And but those superlatives are still like, that's ever present when you're talking to a kid. It's like, I want to know like the best thing. I want to know like the most fun that you have. Like, what's the most fun you have? And my son is also very into firsts. He really wants to mm-hmm. always have firsts where like we will be driving along and he'll see a truck that we've never seen before. And he's like, that's my first time ever seeing one of those. I'm like, yeah, okay. Sure, man. And like really wants to establish his firsts.
Yeah, that's, it certainly made me hyper-cognizant of how guarded I am with my answers, because I, you know, it would be simple to talk to a 10-year-old and just like pick any movie if he says, what's your favorite movie? But I, stripped of that context, if someone in my life asked me what my favorite movie was, I could, like, my brain is automatically going like, well, like, Jurassic Park probably had the biggest impact on me, but that feels kind of lame to say that. And like, if I said Fight Club, that's a red flag. So I got like, well, I should say something that was directed by a woman, so I looked like a good person. But there aren't that many. Hurt Locker, I don't know. I don't think we like Jeremy Renner anymore. And it's like spinning wheels of anxiety of like trying to find the right answer for what my favorite movie is, because I don't have the confidence of a 10-year-old who was just like, right now it's Cars, or whatever his favorite movie is.
Well, you're also qualifying based on your audience, I think. And they don't do that. They don't have that yet, because they're the same person for everyone. Whereas like, yeah, like depending on the group that I'm in, I'm like, oh, how do I present here? I'm the esoteric one. Okay. I better pick something weird. Like, cause you have like different, you fall into different categories in different groups and you're like, oh, well, it's fun to reinforce that. And the answer doesn't truly matter is the thing. Like, it never really, that's why with best and worst, like my wife will just be like, fucking, I fell down. It sucked. Got a little scratch on my knee and I didn't like it. And like, that probably wasn't the very worst thing, but it's like, oh, that's the first one that comes to mind. I think it's the same with this, is like for other adults, I will just pick whatever's going to be, I think, the most, either like most in line with who I am to them in a weird way, or I will pick one that I think, oh, this will be a conversation starter.
Yeah. Right. Certainly. And I can't.
Is that crazy?
I'm walking with him down the boardwalk, and he's asking my favorite movie, and I'm like, E2 Mami Tambien. And then we get off the boardwalk, and I'm like, hey, I was just saying that because like there are other adults walking by. It's Jurassic Park. Don't tell anyone. I like the big dinosaurs. I like when the bad guys die. Do you want to do more? Then you need to know more. What if you could use science and learn more about your body? This big old honking thing you've been lugging around all this time. Use science to figure out what makes it tick. Find out what you need for your healthier tomorrow with Everlywell. Everlywell is digital healthcare designed for you, all at an affordable and transparent price. With over 30 at-home labs, you'll be able to choose the test that makes the most sense for you to get the answers you need, like the women's health test or food sensitivity test. Everlywell also has high-quality vitamins and supplements to support your overall health. Choose from a variety of options, including vitamin D3 and omega-3 fish oil. Here's how it works. Everlywell ships products straight to you with everything needed in one package. Then you take your at-home lab test, simply collect your sample, and use the included prepaid shipping label to mail your test back to a certified lab. Your physician-reviewed results get sent to your phone or whatever device you want in just days. And you can share the results with your primary care physician to help guide next steps. If you ordered vitamins and supplements, you can start adding them to your daily routine right away. It's so simple. Over 1 million people have trusted Everlywell to support their health and wellness goals, and you should too. All of the decisions I've made about my diet are based on trial and error and guesswork. I don't really know what I'm allergic to, and I've always wanted someone to help me out with that. And Everlywell offers food sensitivity tests so you can learn about your body, and you can do it simply sending a sample to their lab, and then they get the results right back to you. It's very simple. It's very easy. Everlywell does it. And for listeners of this show, Everlywell is offering a special discount of 20% off an at-home lab test at everlywell.com/QQ. That's everlywell.com/QQ for 20% off your next at-home lab test. everlywell.com/QQ. everlywell.com/QQ. You guys have heard me talk about Jiminy's before. They're the company that makes treats that my dog eats. They're made of cricket protein, and he doesn't know that, but he loves them anyway. If you care about the environment and you have a dog, consider reducing your dog's carbon paw print with Jiminy's sustainable dog food and treats made from cricket protein. They're sustainably made because cricket protein uses less water and land to produce and drastically eliminates greenhouse gas emissions versus traditional animal protein dog food. Jiminy's is also good for dogs with food sensitivity or dogs with allergies. Insect protein is considered hypoallergenic for dogs versus other allergy-triggering proteins like beef, chicken, fish, and soy. In fact, veterinarians are using Jiminy's dog food in elimination diets to determine food allergies. My dog Jackson, who's 10 years old and full of life, he loves these Jiminy's treats. I got him a bunch of different kinds from Jiminy's. I got the peanut butter and cranberry recipe for training, but we don't train, we just like snack on them. And he also really loves the peanut butter and blueberry recipe dog treats, and that makes two of us. To learn more and save 25% on your first purchase, go to jiminys.com/QQ25 and use code QQ25 at checkout. That's jiminys.com/QQ25 with the code QQ25.
He does definitely, my son is curious about like what things I like. He doesn't ever phrase it as favorite anymore. He used to do that a lot, especially with completely trivial things. Like we would be eating a bunch of different jelly beans and he'd be like, which one's your favorite? And I'd be like, that one. He's like, why? And I'm like, I don't know, that one. Like whatever that, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's just like whatever, until you say, ah, yes, that is the one. Then I will be like, okay, then we did it.
Right.
We got there. But he does it with his friends in a way where I'm like, oh, maybe cut that out. I think it's a natural inclination. You see people like fandoms doing it all the time where they're like, this is all right. Now that Obi-Wan is out, like now we can, now here's the new ranking of Star Wars properties. And it's just like this natural instinct where like people want to find their best, their favorite person on SNL or whatever it is. And so he will be like, I don't want to use the kid's actual name because I think that it's, I don't ever want there to be an issue, but like, he'll be like, I think Cassandra is not my favorite anymore. Cassandra's number three. And I'm like, well, don't do that. First of all, don't try to figure out who's your top. Don't pick out your top five. You're too young for that. You just be friends with everyone. And sometimes people are going to piss you off and that's fine. What are they doing? Like, what's the issue? And he's like, they just want to play with me all the time. And I'm like, Ronan, God damn it. You're like, this is not, you're not being a good person right now. They want to play with you because they think you're fun. And you know how that feels when somebody doesn't want to play with you. I've seen some of the older kids on the street just burn you because they're like, fuck this kid, which is also a very natural inclination. And it doesn't feel good. And so I'm like trying to like instill all this in him. But at the same time, I'm like, I've been there. I've been in jobs and stuff where I'm like, we've worked at this place where I was like, let's see, Dan, let's go to lunch in front of everybody. We're like, no, you other fuckers can't come. And if they do come, then you're like, oh, fuck. Like, that's just, it changed the whole lunch dynamic. And so, like, I get it, but I also...
Right, and then we have to get a second lunch later to do our real lunch.
And so I can't completely be like, Ronan, that you're a bad person. Like, don't do that. Bad people do that. I'm just like... it's tough, man. You're going to be dealing with this for a long time.
Right.
Don't outwardly say who are your best friends and who aren't, and like, don't rank them. But,
right. It's got to be especially tough for you because as you're giving him this lecture about being a good person, you could just see your spot plummeting down the family ranking.
Yeah, it's true. I think that he probably has quietly decided.
As you're talking to him, he takes out a little notebook and flips it open and just like crosses a name.
Here's how I know his ranking within the family is that every once in a while, apropos of nothing, he'll go, Daddy, I love you. And when I say apropos of nothing, like he's not, there's no obvious thing, but I know what's going on. Like if I've spent a bunch of time with him that day and we've done some things that he likes, maybe like got a Kinder Egg or something like that, then he'll do it. And that, in his mind, that's him being like, hey, Dad, today you're number one. Just thought you should know. Or when, like, it's clear that when I'm mad at him or something like that, and his mother is not, then he will be like, Mama, I love you. It's like, I know what you're doing.
Right in front of you. Hey guys, read nothing into this. Daddy, calm down. Read nothing. This is just something that popped into my head. I love you.
Like, Ronan, you're not good at this yet. I know exactly what you're doing. It's fine. We all do it, but you got to get better at this because you're hurting my feelings.
Dad, totally. Please don't. I'm just talking to Mom. Read nothing into this. While we're on the subject, though, Gilly, number two, second favorite family member. Just wanted to put
Gilly,
that out.
I made you this card for nothing. It's a card of our family. Oh, weird. Dad is not on it. I guess I forgot him. Anyway, it's us standing in front of the house on a sunny day. It's perfect. It's a perfect day. It's a perfect family.
Yeah. Dad, you don't want me to redo this card, right? I mean, it's good. You're probably, you know where you are in this card? You're blown off steam somewhere else. You took a walk. You took a very needed walk.
Dan, this actually leads into my quick question for you.
Okay, good.
What do you do for your parents on Father's Day and Mother's Day?
Cards. I send cards, sometimes with $5. This year I sent my mom $6 because I'm making a little bit more money this year. I think I've sent my dad scratch-off lottery tickets before. That's generally it. This was a particularly fun... It's going to sound sadder than it is, but for Father's Day this year, I went fishing by myself, took a fishing boat out, and when I got home and I was talking to my neighbor about the fishing trip, he was like, because it seems like a very Father's Day thing to do, and my neighbor was like, you go out with your dad? I was like, oh no, dad's at a father-son golf tournament with my brother.
The good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Mother's Day...
Wearing, it has to be said, I hate to put my family on blast, but it has to be said, they were wearing matching shirts that said O'Brien and Son. Singular.
That's rough, dude. Well, rough, not just for you. That's shots fired in both directions.
I know.
Did it sting at all, or were you just like, I get it, it's fine?
It was all very funny. I mean, they're certainly... What did they have the option to get shirts that said O'Brien's or O'Brien and Sons? And then they could just like explain to people, oh no, the other two are in, they're somewhere else. They're fishing or whatever. Sure. They could have done that, but O'Brien and Son is cleaner. And, this is Daniel and Tommy erasure. And that's fine. We're going to start our own dad. Where am I going with this? We'll get our own dad and do it. Father said,
"I'm so rusty at revenge. I don't remember what I'm supposed to be doing here." So I don't do much for my parents on Mother's Day and Father's Day. I call them.
Yeah,
I talk to them on the phone, and that's about it. And that's always been like what I've done, and it seems to be enough. But then I was thinking about what my children do for me, and this year, I thought, that's not enough what they did. So first of all, with Mother's Day, it's a little easier because they're in school and school is going to prime you. So like, school is going to be like, Mother's Day coming up, we're going to make something. Like in school, this is part of your grade, is that you do something nice for your mom. But with Father's Day, it's just like, these are uncharted waters because they're off on summer break and nobody is telling them to get ready. So my son made me a card, last year in his, it was like a preschool camp type thing. They made cards for the dads. So he fished that card out. I don't even remember where he found it from. Fished that out and then cut out. There's a tie on the front of it because Father's Day, I guess, is synonymous with ties. That makes sense. I get that.
Sure. And you wear ties so much in your life. That you always need, you're always screaming about how you need more ties.
When my son thinks of me, he thinks of ties. So there's a tie in the front, and then you open it up, and it says "Happy Father's." Well, it said "Happy Father Day." I love you, and that's all good. There are no complaints. But that was last year's, and then he found it, fished it out, and recycled it, and then inside to spruce it up a little, to like blow the dust off of it, he added another tie. He cut out from another piece of paper, another tie, and taped it in there. And
That is so fun.
I was like looking at it and I was like looking at him and I was hoping like that he thought this would be a really funny joke. But he was just like, nah, I had to do this. This is like my thing. Like, I think mom made me or whatever it was. I don't know what the circumstances were. But he was just like, are you happy now? Kind of thing. And I was like, no, no, this is a very, you could have done this as a bit and I would have been happy. That would have made me happy. But
yeah, he still can do it as a bit. I think if he, does he listen to the show? Ronan, this would be a great bit if you just keep doing this.
Yeah, he listens to it on his runs. and so, yeah, it was, I was like, you do better than this. Next year, I think try a little harder. Oh, but did I tell you that I prime him early on for when Father's Day is coming up, where I sit him down and very carefully, pointedly point out that I need something. It doesn't matter what it is, as long as it's expensive and hurts him financially.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
but he did at some point that day, it broke my heart a little, where he said, I'm sorry I didn't get you something that cost a lot. And I was like, no. That's, no. I'm trying to give you the gift of a sense of humor. that's a big, long joke that dad is doing.
Yeah, listen, now that your brain is developing, you should know, don't ever listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm never saying anything real.
He's very into Calvin and Hobbes now. He understands maybe about 15% of it, but we read it all the time. And he loves I think it's like there's certain things I didn't even consider, like that you're getting a fluency in a four-panel comic, like how that's supposed to go. Mm-hmm. Which, it just seems so second nature to you now in your life, but it's something you really have to learn. And he's kind of like figured out, like you present the situation in the first panel. There's a extrapolation on it in the second. There's a turn in the third where like something unexpected happened. And then the punchline obviously is in the fourth. And so like he's really into figuring out where that all lies, but that's beside the point. The dad in that lies to Calvin constantly. When Calvin asks him a big philosophical question or something he doesn't know the answer to, he just lies. And just in reading it, I was like, oh, I'm going to start lying to him more often. And I have. I lie to him all the time. When he has big questions, I tell him these big, very clear lies. And Colleen hears me doing it. And she's like, don't do that. And I'm like, Ronan, do you think that's true? He's like, no, you're joking. And I'm like, see? No, this is good. This is a good thing.
Yeah.
He's not learning the thing he wants to know, but he is learning a thing.
No, he's learning something very useful.
Hey, if you're like me, there are games that come out and you think, God, that would be a lot of fun to play. Oh, well, not with my lifestyle. I don't think I'm not going to have the chance for this. I just don't have enough time in my day to sit down in front of my TV and play this. Well, there's a workaround, my friend, the Backbone. Now, wherever you are, just whenever you would take out your phone and play solitaire or whatever silly mobile game you have on your phone, the Backbone can actually let you play any game you'd ordinarily play on a console. All you do is you take out the retractable device, you place your phone inside of it, you slap it on, you've got a controller on each side, and it works phenomenally. I will say that with mine, I really like the button responsiveness. There's a good from each one of the buttons, and the joysticks all feel solid and secure, and the whole device feels very good on your phone. It fits like a glove. I love playing on my Backbone. And you might be thinking, well, but can I pick up games that I've already been playing? Yes, of course. Almost any game you've been playing on your Xbox will translate onto your Backbone. You experience for yourself what TechCrunch calls the closest we've seen to a portable Xbox. Go to playbackbone.com/QQ now to order your Backbone until June 30th and get free access to over 350 console games and perks, including 1 month free of Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, 1 month free of Apple Arcade, 2 months free of Google Stadia Pro, and 3 months free of Discord Nitro. Find your next adventure at backbone.com/QQ. I'm going to give you a little look into the type of person that I am as a human being. If you looked at my phone right now, you'd see that there's over 66,000 messages that are unopened in my Google mailbox. That's just who I am. Some people can't live that way. As a result, there are certain consequences that I suffer, mostly monetary, for this kind of lifestyle. One of them is that I create subscriptions to different stuff and then have no idea that I create a subscription, and it just keeps auto-renewing and auto-renewing for a service I have forgotten how to even access. Well, with Truebill, I don't have to keep doing that. If you're also suffering from way too many subscriptions, there is a way out, and you don't even have to talk to anyone. You don't have to have that embarrassing conversation that you've forgotten about this thing for the last 5 years. Let Truebill do the work to set you free. Average users save $720 a year using Truebill. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or you've simply forgotten about. Hey, that's me! Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple for you. You're just adding a middleman to shield you from them. Just link your account and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped them save over $100 million. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions, so you don't have to. So if you did want to talk to somebody, you technically could. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/QQ. Go right now, Truebill.com/QQ. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/QQ.
Hey, I don't even know. This isn't really a question. Or I don't know how to get it into a question, but hey, Soren, quick, I'm going to talk for a while.
Oh, yeah, shoot.
Great. So I'm traveling soon to come see you.
Yes, you are.
We're going to see each other. We're going to do a live version of this podcast that is not recorded or in front of anyone else.
Right, and it will not be saved in any way for posterity.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just two people hanging out.
That's right, yes. And because I live at the beach, I have a nice little beach house here, and I'm letting people stay in it while I'm gone. I'm letting my brother and sister-in-law and their kids stay here.
Very nice of you.
And it's, thank you. It's, I don't know if you've ever had people stay in one of your homes. That's a terrible way of anywhere you've ever lived in your life. If you've had people stay in it while you were not there, have you ever done that?
Yes.
It's for me anyway, a terrible experiment in really analyzing how little self-respect I have because I'm making a list of things in the house that don't work. And they're all things that I never had to think about because in my imagination, in my self-esteem, I deserve to be treated this way. It's okay for me to live in a house full of broken things because it's just me. And now I have to be like putting this list together that like it just starts with, here's the Wi-Fi. It doesn't work all the time. The screen door is broken. The toilet sometimes runs and you have to jiggle it. Dishwasher is broken completely. The locks, blah, blah, blah. The kitchen sink, this thing leaks. Sometimes the house beeps somewhere. This other thing is broken. Just so many things in the house that are broken that I have just lived with.
Yeah.
And even stuff that's not broken, but like I'm writing out the garbage can. You're gonna see something that looks like a garbage can in the kitchen next to the washing machine. Ignore it. Don't do anything with it. That was here when I came here. It used to be the garbage can, but I didn't like it. I wanted a garbage can under the sink, and that one didn't fit, so I bought a new garbage can that goes under the sink, but I can't throw out this garbage can because it's not mine, so I moved it to a part of the house that I don't look at often, so I never see it, but so that's why it's there. Please don't use it. Please don't use that garbage can. It's not for garbage.
Yeah, I was moving from my old house to this house. We sold the old house, and I thought, first of all, the owners of this house I did not care for, and they were not very helpful in any of the process. But I thought I have the opportunity to be what I was wanting from the seller because I'm selling my other house. And so I created a list of like, here is the gardener that we've been using. You could probably get him to stay on. Here's his number. This tree in the back, it's an avocado tree, and avocado trees in LA get these things called persea mites regularly. There's a natural arbor service that will come and spray this tree once a year, and I've been calling them in May. Here's their number. And like started doing this thing thinking I was going to be very helpful. And then I thought, oh, I should like, I'll clue them into the things that aren't really working or aren't particularly great too. And then that list started getting long. And then it got to the point where like I stopped in the middle of writing and I, like about the garage flooding. And I was like, well, I should just write, why the fuck did you buy this house? There's all kinds of stuff I hate about this place that I never have to deal with again. And now this is going to be your problem forever. And so I was like, I don't think I can put all these in here. I think I have to kind of be judicious and pick and choose, because otherwise it looks bad. That I, not only that I've been living this way, but that I'm like, here, take this. All these are your problems now.
Congratulations. Here's the key to your new money pit.
Yeah. And there's, I mean, obviously, I don't like when I'm living in a new house and I discover something where that wasn't disclosed to me and that is annoying or doesn't work or is on the verge of breaking. And then I'm just like, well, fuck. But of course, it's not anybody's job to be like, hey, the washing machine every once in a while in the spin cycle is going to sound like a jet taking off and like the whole thing might fly off like down the stairs. But that's only every once every like six cycles. Like nobody, it's nobody's job to do that. It's like my, it's just something I had to figure out.
Yeah.
But I've gotten much better in my, as a homeowner and like of taking care of that shit, like cataloging it and taking care of it and figuring it out and doing it, which I never used to do as a renter.
Right. And it's, I think that makes sense for renters. And like for my situation, certainly I'm renting a furnished house. So it would be weird for me to have everything exactly the way I like it. So there's some like, it's understandable why I'm surrounded by broken things. It's just, it's so humiliating to write it down for someone else and to be like, yeah, I've decided that the leak in the kitchen sink is, I decided I'm okay with it. And the broken, the leak in the bathroom, I decided I'm okay with that too. And all these other things that are broken, I decided that, that's how I should be treated.
This is my penance. Well, you understand, I enjoy good food. And so it can't be that. It can't be, I can't get my penance from that. So I have to hurt myself somehow.
Right.
And it's going to be this.
You will probably be unhappy living here. And that's that's right. That's good. Don't feel bad about that. This is for people like me.
That's how I know you're a good person. And I love you for it. You should hate this. Well, that's sad, Dan.
That's okay. I'm still very happy here. It's just writing a list of broken things.
Yeah. I have.
Because I don't want them to discover it by themselves. Mostly because I don't want to get a million texts when I'm hanging out with you.
Right.
It's like, hey, does something in your house beep? And I'll just be like, yes, look at the list. I made you a list. Look at the thing that says beep. Sometimes something in the house beeps. I don't know where it is. I think it's close to the weird smell. Read the list. It's all there.
I've definitely stayed in Airbnbs before where they're like that, where they're like, they're not saying this explicitly, but the conceit is, look, we don't fucking live here. These are the things we've heard of that are wrong. These are some things you might encounter, including beeps or like lights that turn on by themselves and stuff like that. Now you have, I am curious now, and I know I shouldn't be because you're just using it as an example, but you have a beep in your house?
Sometimes.
And you can't figure out where it's coming from.
Correct. It's not from my carbon monoxide alarm.
And it's not from your... Wait, is it a loud one or is it just like a... Boop-boop?
Split the difference, I guess.
Okay. Can you... Is it one...
It doesn't sound like an alarm. And it doesn't happen every day. But every couple weeks or so, they'll just be like... fairly consistent beep spaced out across 3 or 4 minutes, and it will last for an hour.
Is it a chirp?
Probably could figure out where the beep is coming from. But I just haven't because I've decided that I'm a piece of shit and the beep, I should be grateful for it.
It's not the smoke alarm. It's not your refrigerator door open. It's not the washing machine. It's not... God damn, that's frustrating.
Yeah. Not for me. It's just desserts. I gotta. This made me think of another quick question for you. You set up all the nice notes and the messages for the people who are buying your first house off you. Do you have any contact with them?
Yes.
Are you friends?
No.
Oh.
I don't. We've stayed an arm's distance away from them. They seem like very nice people, but. I don't want to for obvious reasons, I don't want to be friends with them. I don't want to, I don't want them calling me if they're like, hey, what's this?
Yeah.
And it's not like there's anything wrong with the house. The house is great, but it was built in 1929. So like, there's just shit that I know that as soon as like every day there'd be something new where I'd discover, I'd be like, oh, okay, well this is something different. And there's just stuff that I haven't discovered yet. But the reason that we stayed in touch is that early on we were still getting some mail and stuff there. And like, obviously I change over my address. I do as much as I can on all of my accounts and stuff and through the mail service, change over my address. But then there are people like Bacon who will, someone will advertise on the show and he'll send it, he'll have that, he'll give them my old address. And so whatever, my Raycon earbuds will go there. But I got to be like, hey, can I come pick those up?
Yeah.
Or they will contact me and they'll be like, we got a package for you. But that is pretty much the limit of our interaction with each other.
I didn't know if you would stay friends or if there would be any kind of like, you know, that's the first house you bought. I'm sure there are a lot of emotions and memory to it. And I don't know if, like, what that process is like for a person if you're, I guess it's not as big a deal as like a childhood home or anything like that, but it still seems like you want your nice home that you were very proud of to be in good hands and to be making fun memories for a new family.
Yeah, I just assume that it is. Also, I don't want to know, like, if I don't want to go by the house and see, like, if there's something that I put a lot of love and care into and they're like, and we got rid of this. Mm-hmm. And that's their prerogative, but it's not something I necessarily want to see. Kind of like you're an ex. Mm-hmm. They're dating somebody new. You're like, you could try to be friends with them and you could try to like maintain some sort of relationship because you have this sunk cost with each other. But
right.
Ultimately, like there's just like this new way for the world to hurt you at every turn. You're like, the cabinets were awesome. What are you doing?
Yeah. Like, I do feel like I drove past my childhood home sometime in the last year and I was prepping myself for like, if they've made this house, let this house go to shit, I'm gonna be so mad. If the lawn is bad, I'll be furious. My dad worked so hard on that lawn. If it looks in disrepair, I'm working myself to be mad at these people before I even get there. And I get there and they've like built an extension on the front porch that's so nice.
Yeah.
It's such an improvement. And that also makes me mad,
right.
Soren.
It makes you mad in the other direction. I totally get it when they're like, oh, you made it way better.
Yeah. It was perfect before. I mean, this is better, but I should have been grateful for a perfect house.
It's so sad thinking that my house might be happier with them.
Oh, she looks good. She looks real good.
That's tough.
Yeah, before.
I definitely don't think that the people who lived here give a shit anymore. But I think it's like a part of their life that they want to forget about. They were in the middle of divorce. I don't know if I've ever said that on the podcast. When they sold this house, they were in the middle of divorce. And so there was a lot of, it was tough communication all the entire process. And now we get their mail every once in a while still. And I'm like, we'll try and contact them and give it to them. But we have no relationship with them and we don't necessarily want one. And when I say that these people that moved into my last house, that they are at arm's length, like there's like a real politics to friendships as you get older and like how much of a friend you're allowed to be with somebody because of other things that are going on. I noticed that on my street too. I have neighbors who I love. My neighbors are great. And I could see myself becoming really good friends with a lot of my neighbors, but you have to be so careful. Like there's like a real, you have to give each other space, you know, like you can't, because you're in such close proximity to one another, you can't be the one that every single week you're like, hey, let's get the kids together. Or like, hey, let's, like, oh, you guys want to come over for beers? Like, what are you doing? Any of that stuff that gets to be overbearing immediately.
Yeah.
Even with somebody that you like. And so it's really, it's such a dance to try and make sure that you both keep, a comfortable distance from each other while being friends. And you can feel it when we have these block parties, especially in the summer, what we do is we close off our street and like, just let the kids rove like a street gang and all the adults are out in the street and we talk to each other and you'll have like these conversations with somebody where you'll hit on something where you're like, oh shit, like that was really funny, or I really like this person. And like both of you are sitting there like thinking it, but you're like, nah.
You can't change the neighborhood chemistry. It's right. A very delicate thing.
There's
a,
yeah, and there's the chance, not only that, but like eventually, like, oh, so we have a neighbor, we got a cat. We got our cat and our cat kind of roams the street. And I had to very explicitly be to my neighbors, hey, if it's a problem, because I noticed that my cat was like, people were giving me pictures of stuff like my cat in their yard. And I'm like, hey, if my cat is a problem for anyone in the neighborhood, please, please let me know, because I can't be that. I can't be the person who suddenly everyone has a problem with and they can't say it. And a similar situation where it happened, where my other neighbor was there, got their kids a drum set in their garage. And she sent out a message and she's like, I want you to know my children have drums now. And if that's a problem for anyone, please, please tell me. And everyone was like, no, it's fine. Like, we can only hear it outside. It's perfect. They're not playing it in the middle of the night or anything. It's all great. But
right, because I guess what could happen if you're like, yeah, I hate drums. I have a problem with it.
Yeah, then it becomes like an issue. And it's so, I mean, you could get along with your neighbors, but you're always on the verge of something like that, where like somebody's going to overstep the bounds in your mind. And then you can't, and then like, how do you continue to function with each other? Like, do you just say something about it? Do you just let it go? And so like, there's so much in the way of becoming like true friends, I think.
Yeah. I think that's healthy. You can't get too close. Like you, it's not exactly the same as like a professional relationship, but it's sort of similar. Like, you don't want to get too close to the chef at a restaurant, or your waiter or waitress at a restaurant, or the bank teller, like any of these people that you rely on for a very specific thing. You can't get too close to them, because there might come a time where you need to yell at them or admonish them or like litigate a problem with them, and you can't have friendship get in the way of that.
Right. And you can, and also our kids too. Like, there's a whole nother social dynamic that it's much, when I say lower than ours, I mean like physically lower than ours. They're
sure.
And there's like this other element where the kids aren't always going to get along on the street. Right now they do, because they're all young and they're exclusively themselves. But as like they get older and they try to become somebody else, there's going to be like weird social dynamics where they could fight or they don't get along. And then you've got two kids on the street who hate each other. Like, what do the parents do then? It's just, it could get so messy so fast, and you're just trying to maintain this thing where everyone is good and everyone is happy. And you're like, yes, let's stay here. Don't change a thing. And somebody would be like, you know, I didn't grow up with a mom. And you're like, don't tell me more information about yourself. That's, now I know you better. But yeah, for the most part, I don't even remember how we got on this topic, but
I was just asking if you were staying in touch with your the people who own your house. I think I have a highly developed, maybe over the top sense of nostalgia for places and things. It's never gotten me in trouble or anything like that. But I just know that, like, I don't think my brothers ever drive past our childhood home. I know my dad does whenever he's in town, but that's a thing that I will certainly do. And I worked at a restaurant in college, famously. My last job before 16 straight years of professional comedy writing was a bartender at a Ruby Tuesday in Somerset, New Jersey. And it was, I was the first employee hired for this restaurant, because it was brand new. And my manager, Julie, hired me. And then, like, after my interview, she was gushing, because she was like, you are the first employee I have ever hired as a manager. And they say you will always remember the first one you hired and the first person you fire. And I was like, this is such a good match. I'm so excited and honored to be the first employee that you hired for this fucking buttery chain restaurant built into a Holiday Inn in New Jersey.
And for this giant vat of ranch that we'll be working in.
The salad bar with the sneeze guard that is at best a suggestion. But I went back there, I think like 3 or 4 years ago, with my friend Nancy, who also worked at this Ruby Tuesday. And we were both there like, hey, we actually worked here. like sat at the bar and talked to the bartender, and they're like, do you guys want menus? We're like, oh, we know what we want, because actually we worked here, and I was I was the first employee hired for this place. And the bartender's like, cool, I'm 20. What the fuck do you want?
Yeah. Do I owe you something now?
Everyone you know who worked here is dead. order one of our disgusting burgers.
Yeah. Yeah, can I interest you in a fried beer? Yeah, I did that at my... So I worked at a restaurant called White House Pizza in Carbondale, which has like become, since I was there, that was like this one restaurant that constantly changed over into a bunch of different things. No one could make it stick. And then this place came in called White House Pizza, which does famous Colorado type pies where the crust is about 14 feet high. and it's got a little bit of honey baked into it. Like, it's just very sweet and kind of bubbly. And when I was working there, I was just a kid. But now as an adult, I have like this crazy nostalgia for that place where every time that I go home, that's the first thing we do is we go to eat White House Pizza. And if we go to the restaurant, my dad and my mom will be like, to the waiter, waitress, be like, you know, he used to have this job. He used to have your job. And it's the first time in my life where like, that's not embarrassing to me. I'm like, yeah, it's true. Yeah. It's true. So I was pretty good at it. Yeah, I used to wash dishes too. That's actually where I started. And then I... got bumped up pretty quick, prep cook and host, and then of course waiter. And like, I just want to like shoot the shit with them and be like, "So what's it like? Like, that bottom stair, you trip on that a lot?"
Yeah,
me too. Notice that the upstairs soda machine only has Mr. Pibb. The downstairs one doesn't have it. And of course, at that point, they're like, "What? No, everything is different here. None of that shit's the same."
Buddy, you order pizza on your phone now. What the fuck is the matter with you? I don't think I knew that you washed dishes there. I had a different path than you, but I also washed dishes at Ruby's.
Okay.
They had a dishwashing station in the kitchen, obviously, like most restaurants. And when it became like shift change for back of house, there was just not anyone washing dishes for a while. Because the expectation was like shift changes, there's not a lot of people in the restaurant, so there won't be a lot of dishes to clean.
Right.
So when the next shift starts, that person will start their day cleaning whatever has piled up.
Of course.
And then you just sort of like move throughout the rest of the night. And I just fell into a habit of getting behind the thing and cleaning these dishes in these in-between shifts. And I found it so therapeutic, so relaxing, and so soothing because there's like... my face is obscured to whomever is dropping off plates, whatever the waiters are dropping off plates. Most of them didn't know I was back there because there's just like machinery that is blocking your face.
Right.
And no one is talking to me. They're just wordlessly dropping off stacks of dirty things. And I clean them and then put them on the conveyor belt machine and they get washed even better after that. And then I put them away. And it's so mindless and repetitive and meditative. And I was doing it at first, like, help out in these in-between shift moments because I had time to kill. And then I asked Julie, my manager, famously Julie, my manager, if I could just, like, start picking up shifts. And she was like, yeah, I don't know why you would want to do that, but sure, you can do dishwashing shifts. And then I just, like, built it into my rotation, bartending and then washing dishes once a week for this zen thing that I did that I probably didn't acknowledge at the time as zen or meditative, but was just like, this is fun. I like that no one talks to me.
I was the same way. I genuinely liked that job, and I have a lot of nostalgia, a lot of like fondness when I look back on being a dishwasher. Part of it is that it was the first job I ever had where I was uniquely qualified, because that doesn't exist when you're a kid. But I had the high school that I'd gone to put you on these work crews, and one of the work crews you could be on was kitchen, and that just meant that you worked the Hobart, and that's the name of the machine that you would put all the dishes into. So at lunch, I would cram all my grilled cheese in my mouth or whatever. And then I'd go and I'd work in the kitchen, and it just meant washing dishes. And so when I got to this business, they had the same machine. And so when I knew how to use it immediately, people were impressed by me. And I was like, maybe this is my track. Like, this is what I do. I'm really good at this. And once you get over the idea of the filth of like other people's spit and snot and stuff like that on a plate, when you're over all of that and you just sort of accept that that's the way things are, it's a great job. It's really fun. It's like you don't have to deal with anybody. Every once in a while, someone from the kitchen will be like, hey, we're making a house pie. Like, or they mess up an order and like it comes back and like, hey, do you want any of this? It's like, you're eating great. I was drinking soda for free when I was young. And I was just like, is there a better job than this in the world? I don't know what there is. And every once in a while, I get to go up and get some fresh air because I go collect the buckets from wherever like waitresses or busboys and clean them up. And I fucking loved it. I was necessary. I was a cog in the machine, and I couldn't have been more happy.
It was awesome. The only weird thing that would happen every once in a while is because every single other person at this restaurant who washed dishes except me was Mexican, and people just fell into that habit of assuming that that was always the case. And so every once in a while, a waiter would drop off dishware, not knowing who was behind the thing, and just start talking to, like, oh, yeah, gracias. Yeah. I'm like, oh, thanks, Albert. No problem. You're welcome.
Yeah.
That about wraps her up for this episode.
That'll do it.
This is the show called Quick Question, but you knew that already. We are recorded, edited, and produced by the irreplaceable Gabe Harder, replaced this week by Jacob again. Our theme song is by the incredible Mirex. Their digital album is available at mirex.bandcamp.com or orcd.co/plesiosaur for their new EP. You can find us as a show on Twitter, QQ_Soren and Dan. You can find Soren at Soren_LTD or me at DOB_INC. Email the show at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon. You can find that the normal ways and support us, where we answer listener questions exclusively once a month. And we really let our hairs down. One hair each gets let down. And we do, like, it's the way you know this podcast, Quick Question main feed, is very buttoned up, very, yeah, very fucking different way of saying buttoned up. We really got it all planned out, but polished. The exclusive episodes are like, that's just dudes being guys, you know.
Oh, and boy, is there a lot of locker room talk in there.
Uh-huh.
We talk about lockers constantly.
bye.
I've got a quick question for you. So what's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time.